right now, it's time for everybody's favorite segment, Talking Books with Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library, who joins us here in the studio now. How are you?
I am fantastic.
I love this time of the week.
You do? Oh,
yes.
I do too.
That's good.
Yeah, because mostly when I end here, it's 5 o'clock and I get to go home. I mean, what? Except tonight.
When you've got a big event at the library.
Which I'm not going to be at because I have to go to the council meeting and present to council. And hey, don't say aw.
Well, this is going to be
a
good
event. I know.
Yeah.
Yes. So I am great.
It's going to be a fantastic town council meeting
tonight.
Absolutely.
I was not here last week because why? Why was I not here last? Oh, you guys were doing the Orange County
economic thing. Because we were doing the Orange County thing. That's right. Yeah.
But I did see you. I've seen you since then. I saw you at the Terra Vita.
The Terra Vita, yeah. That was a lot of fun.
That was awesome. I had never been before.
I had never been either. Like, that was
Holy cow.
A whole bunch of people together under the tent and so much great food. And yeah.
It was awesome.
It's also really amazing. Like, some of the really great chefs in town and beyond. Like, there were people from Wilmington, Winston-Salem, Charlotte were coming up. Just what they're capable of doing with just not really exactly materials like the Farrington. I don't know if you had what they had at the Farrington.
I had everything, my friend.
Yeah.
I ate one of everything.
They just had like a hunk of chicken with some sweet potato fluff
that
and it was fantastic,
was crazy.
Right?
It was delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like smoked chicken and
sweet potato foam of some
foam.
Kind.
Yes,
yeah.
It was foam.
But like you go up to like, oh, it's the Farrington. This is going to be really fancy. What do you got? We've got a hunk of smoked chicken, sir. I'm like, all right, fine. And then it was great.
Yes.
It was fantastically good.
Yes. That was really, really fun. What a cool event, and the Terra Vita folks are just awesome. So it was good to see you there.
Yeah, it was good to see you.
But yes, tonight, for folks out there listening to the show that don't know, we have a big, big event tonight. So tonight's event is one of, it's rare that we do a program on our own. I would say 90% of the time it is with a partner. And tonight we are thrilled to partner with the Center for the Study of the American South. Every year they do a I think they call it the Hutchins Conversation, the Hutchins Lecture.
Lecture, I think.
And they called us up, my new dear friend Patrick Horn, who I think you had on the show this week.
Just 2 days ago, yeah.
Yep. And he said, we really would like to get this out into the community more. Could we do it there? And I said, yes, you could.
Uh-huh.
And then he told me what the topic was, which the topic is white women and the politics of racial inequality. So they're bringing in this author to talk about this really relevant topic. So we're partnering with them. We're giving them our space and our reach and our help. And they're bringing the speaker and the program. And we think it's going to be a very, very full house.
Yeah.
So it's a known program for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then people know us for programs. And then you think about the topic and the relevancy. And then they were on the State of Things Today. And then it's been shared on Facebook like 5,000 times.
Right.
So if you're planning on coming, come early. Consider carpooling. Consider...
It is that level, though.
It is.
Like,
it is.
There's going to be an overflow room, is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So take transit. Come with a friend. We used to encourage folks to park down at that FastMed lot,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of the PSNC trucks there right now.
Okay.
So bear with us with parking. And it's going to be in room B. And then we're going to, I believe we worked out the technology to do an overflow room in A and stream it on screens. I think that's happening, but I can for sure say that we're going to be live streaming it on our Facebook page.
Awesome.
Which is something that we've worked on before. We've tried it a couple times, and I hope that we have sort of perfected that. So if you can't make it, you can watch it on Facebook. And there's other programs happening. So there's a great... job development, it's called Land Your Next Job, which is another partnership between us, Carolina Women in Business, and the Compass Center that's all about resume or job searching,
mm-hmm.
interviewing, resuming, all of that. So resuming, that's not a verb.
It is now. Blake and I were having a conversation earlier today on air about whether denser is a word or not. I say it is. He wasn't 100% sure. But the point is that you say it and the meaning gets across. So resuming is...
Densest,
densest, yes. Maybe, I don't know. The way you put it, now I have
right?
doubts, but the meaning came across. So resume is now also a verb.
Yes,
true.
Resume-ing.
Yes. Resume-ing. To resume.
So tonight's going to be a busy night at the library.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then we got another event coming up on Friday, right?
Which I will also see you at.
Yes.
My friend.
So Chapel Hill Library Foundation is doing its Book'em fundraiser on Friday evening. So that's going to be fun. And I'm going to be emceeing that. So that'll be cool.
That's right. So this is an annual event that our foundation does. So we have our Friends of the Library. And then we also have the Chapel Hill Public Library Foundation. This is their annual event. They've done this for a couple of years now. It's usually right around Halloween. So there's some sort of a theme that people can costume up if they wish. A couple years ago, they did a murder mystery dinner theater.
I remember I emceed this one time where it was like top hat and a cane.
Roaring 20s.
That was what it was. That was the one that I was at.
And so this year, they're taking a country and western theme for the Book'em. I think they're calling it Dead or Alive is the subtitle. So very clever, lots of puns. So this is a fundraiser event. So the tickets are $75. There is barbecue with all the fixins. There's a great country and western band, the Cosmic Country Band. There's a silent auction. There's a live auction. There's a photo booth. There's mixing and mingling. And the other thing that they will be doing is... the foundation manages the Cornelia Spencer Love Trust, which is a trust that was left, and they now manage. And through that trust, they gave us a special disbursement to put the... the awning and the furnishings that are now on the terrace. So if you haven't seen that, it's beautiful, and they're going to do a ribbon cutting to celebrate that project.
Very cool. So that's Friday night at the library.
Yes.
Huge event tonight, though, 7 p.m., White Women in the Politics of Racial Inequality. And Elizabeth McRae, right, is the speaker?
Yes, and she's at, I think, Western Carolina University. So, yeah, it's going to be a great event tonight.
Cool. All right, so what are we recommending? We'll go back to Book'em and talk about Western books, I think.
Yes, I think Westerns.
All right,
to which, when I said Westerns, you said, I don't really know any Westerns.
I don't know very many. I was looking up Western books on Google before we started. I'm like, well, I've seen a lot of these movies.
There you go.
But I haven't actually read the books for them. But I do have one that I have read. You first.
So here's the thing about Westerns, though. So I have this whole soapbox that I get on. So pardon me while I get up my soapbox.
Okay.
Do we have like the audio sound of a soapbox?
You actually brought that. Okay, good.
I'm now standing on my soapbox. So I have this whole thing about getting people to read outside their comfort zone.
Yes.
I love that people read what they want to read, and that's great, but occasionally just try something new. And I especially have a thing about encouraging book clubs. So book clubs often fall into the sort of air quotes literary fiction rut, or the sort of Oprah books, or whatever the other book clubs are reading. So I've done a series of workshops and articles over the years called But My Book Club Doesn't Read Blank. So I've done, but my book club doesn't read horror. My book club doesn't read romance. And I did one called My Book Club Doesn't Read Westerns. Because I think Westerns get a bad rap.
Yeah.
So
I mean, genre fiction in general, right?
Yes.
Like anyone who's not into that genre just dismisses it.
That's
right.
Yeah. And for me, Westerns, if you look past that genre label, they check so many boxes on what makes a great book club book and just what makes a great story. So there's often... good versus evil, right? The good sheriff and the bad outlaw. There's the sort of mythology of the West and of America. There's great characters, right? You know, this cast of characters from the, you know, hooker with the heart of gold or the, you know, drunk sheriff that gets redeemed in the end.
The, like, wandering man with no name kind
yes.
of character, right? Right.
So what I often recommend to folks, so yes, you can get into the Louis L'Amours and the Zane Greys, and those are great, and they serve a purpose, but there are some, and I hate to say this, literary Westerns that I think if people can look beyond the Western part of it, they would find a great read.
Awesome. Go for it.
Pardon me while I get down from my soapbox
now. No, stay on the soapbox. I mean... this is now where you just, like, harangue your audience with a list of this great Western and that great Western and this other great Western and this one that's fine and then this great Western.
Okay, so I'm going to start with an easy one.
Okay.
Now, this is tough for book clubs because it's very, very long, but this is one of my, I would have to say, my top five all-time favorite novels.
Period? Not Western novels, just novels, period?
Okay. Period.
All right.
I think this is in the top five.
I've got to ask you what your top five is. I don't
know if we've had this one.
Okay, that's fine, yeah.
But right now.
All right.
Lonesome Dove.
All right.
Larry McMurtry,
right?
It's
yeah.
fabulous. It is very long. It was turned into a great miniseries, mm-hmm. but talk about just an epic saga of, you know, all of it. Great characters, the journey. It's got young characters, old characters. It's got Texas at a certain time period. It's very readable. It's so well done that I think that that is one that absolutely sort of busts out of the genre... bucket.
What is it about?
So
I've heard of Lonesome Dove. I've heard of the miniseries, but I don't know what the story is.
So Lonesome Dove, and I always get the, I switch the character's name, so I want to make sure I get them right. It's, I don't want to say them wrong. Here we go. It is Woodrow Call and Augustus McCrae.
Okay.
So I often switch their names. So these guys are, they co-own the Hat Creek Ranch or plant, or not a plantation, it's a ranch, it's an outfit. And they're former Texas Rangers. Okay. So they have this life and they've got this, you know, they've got all the cattle hands and the young guys. And of course, they occasionally go into the sleepy town and they, you know, go to the saloon and everything is fine, right? They're just sort of living this life as two retired Rangers. They soon have to set out on a quest, and they hear tell of a, they're going to make a great cattle drive, and then there's also sort of a crime element mystery in there, and there's all kinds of things.
Sorry about that. Interrupted by a random EAS signal.
Oh, okay.
Everything's fine, by the way.
Gotcha.
That just automatically triggered. Anyway, you were saying.
So... they're living a sleepy life on the Hat Creek Ranch, mm-hmm. and this person from their former life, Jake Spoon, comes and says, we've got to make this cattle drive, this one great cattle drive. It's going to be epic. We're all going to make tons of money. Let's do it.
Okay.
And so they set out. And then the story unfolds from there of what actually happens on the drive, past crimes, past loves.
Ooh.
All kinds of things.
All right.
It is
so. This is an
fabulous.
Epic. Yeah.
It is an epic saga worth every page.
All right. Cool.
So Lonesome Dove.
Great. Okay. So I'm going to recommend one that I have recommended in the past, but this is like a classic Western, but not one that you would necessarily think of as being. I don't even think you would necessarily think of this as being like a genre Western, but it certainly fits the parameters of the, you know, settlers who go out west. They, you know, stake their claim on the ground and they're struggling through tough times and over the course of a couple generations rise to some degree of prominence in the community and prosperity and success, and it's O Pioneers by Aloha Cather.
Oh, absolutely.
Cather. Yeah. Which I still think is her best novel. Everyone talks about My Antonia.
My Antonia, yes.
Death Comes for the Archbishop is the other one. That one I haven't read. I've read My Antonia, but O Pioneers is still my favorite. It's the first one that I read. But the main character, who is Alexandra Bergson, I think is her name, is this, like, from an immigrant family. She comes over and she's kind of thrust into the situation of being the matriarch of this family at a very young age. I think she's a teenager or early 20s when she kind of takes over the role of leading the family. And she's just this incredibly strong character who becomes this pillar of the community and very prosperous while her family is going through a lot of drama over the generations as well. But it's a great story.
And so thank you for bringing that up, because that would be a great book club book, because strong female lead,
right.
Which is great.
It's
and
short.
Unlike Lonesome Dove, most of her books are shorter.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a great one. That's awesome.
All right.
So I want to recommend another one that I've probably recommended before, but it's, again, this might be top three.
Okay.
Might be top three all-time favorites.
Right.
But I want to recommend, and this has been made into a movie twice, the book is True Grit by Charles Portis.
Yes.
So many, many people know the original movie with John Wayne as Rooster Cogburn, and then many people know the... what's their name? The Coen brothers.
We
did
True Grit. I like the remake better than the original. I have seen both of them, but yeah, they're both real good.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you've never read the book, I encourage you to read the book. And I actually often, for the right book club, recommend this as a book club book because, again, a strong female character. So True Grit Was published in 1968. And Charles Portis is this sort of cult author. Like, a few people know him, and then when you start reading him, he's fantastic. But True Grit is the story of Maddie Ross, and when she's 14 years old, a coward by the name of Tom Chaney shoots her daddy dead.
Mm-hmm.
So she sets out to avenge his death, and on the way, she meets Rooster Cogburn, who's, of course, this, you know, iconic character now. What I love about the book is you really get Maddie's story and Maddie's voice. It's also short, and it opens, and I forget if either movie does this. I haven't seen either of them in a while. It opens, you know, she is telling the story from her point of view as an older woman.
Right.
And what I tell people, and it's only after about the second or third time that I read it, it occurred to me, like, is this Tall Tales?
Oh.
Like, did this actually happen, or is this a
How
tall tale?
How reliable of a narrator,
right?
Is she?
Kind of like the Big Fish, Daniel Wallace thing.
Yes.
I was like, oh, wait a minute. And then I read it again, and I didn't get that. But I read it many times, and one time I was like, wait a minute, is Maddie telling us a tall one? But either way, it's a great, great story. And
awesome.
A great book.
So that reminded me, actually, for some reason, Lonesome Dove reminded me of a collection of short stories, Annie Proulx's Close Range.
Oh,
she's
Wyoming fabulous.
Story. She's amazing.
Yes.
And of course, she's known for Brokeback Mountain, and that story is in this collection of short stories. And that's a fine story, but there are a bunch of other really great, powerful, dark stories about life in Wyoming and just the struggle of trying to make it in the West. And this is kind of fast-forwarding to Not present day, but recently to the present day. So these are modern Western stories, and some of them are just unbelievably good. The one that I read first out of this was a story called "People in Hell Just Want a Drink of Water,"
which is a great title.
And I don't even know what the story has to do with the title. It's just, I think she came up with the title and then dropped that onto a story that didn't have a title yet, but it's about these two rival families in a small town and what ends up happening between them. But yeah, there's that story that's great. There's another story in there that's about a paragraph long that's just fantastic, about a woman who's just home alone one day while her husband is out and what she finds, and so on and so on and so on. And then it culminates with Brokeback Mountain at the end, but there's so much other great stuff in this, in that collection.
Another great one for book clubs.
For book clubs.
I love
there
it.
Yeah.
So the last one, do we have time
yep,
for one
go
more?
For it.
The last one that I want to recommend is an author. So this author is Paulette Giles,
mm-hmm.
And you mentioned sort of modern stories of the West. So Paulette Giles is an author who writes stories that are set in the past, but I think she has a very modern way of approaching them. So oftentimes her stories, she takes the well-known kind of tropes and legends of the West and overlays the sort of female point of view on them. So her first book that I read was Enemy Women, which is set in the Civil War, which is fantastic. Then she wrote a great one called The Color of Lightning. But the one that I want to bring up, which was nominated and may have won the National Book Award a couple years ago, it was a finalist, is a book called News of the World. It's a very short novel. It's a little bit similar to True Grit in
mm-hmm.
that this is post-Civil War Texas, and the main character is a 10-year-old girl who has been, she was captured, and she was living with, I forget the Indian tribe, maybe Kiowa.
Like, okay.
She was taken, her parents were killed, she was taken, she's been living with them for 4 years. She's journeying back. She somehow gets free from them. She's journeying back to her family home, to her aunt and uncle. And on the way, she meets Captain Jefferson Kyle Kidd, who is this old sort of character, much like Rooster Cogburn.
Yes.
And his job is he's a professional reader. He rides through towns, and he brings the news, and he does public readings of the news. Either these are towns too small to have news, or people can't read. So he's kind of this town crier, but he's riding the circuit and he's reading news. And she meets up with him, and then the rest of the story is about their journey, their odyssey back, and what they learn. It is a fabulous book.
Premise.
I know,
right?
So I think a lot of hers are based in research, like many authors of historical fiction. She finds some little nugget or some mm-hmm. thread and really takes it out, but it is such a good book.
Love that.
And I think it's been optioned for a movie, but News of the World, I highly recommend, as I do all of Paulette Giles's work.
And head out to the library at 7 p.m. tonight for the community conversation on white women and the politics of racial inequality. Elizabeth McRae leading that. Chapel Hill Library Foundation's fundraiser is on Friday evening at the library starting at 7:30. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.